Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Third Stream View here on BBSRadio.com for Monday, January 10th, 2011. I'm your host, PK, and I'll be with you for the next hour. Sorry, I got a little late start this evening. I had a few technical difficulties, but hopefully it's all smoothed out. And you can email me here at pkbbs2@gmail.com. Now, this evening, I hope to have an interesting conversation with a wonderful guest caller, Reverend Ted Pike, and we're going to be talking about Zionism and Israel and all these hot topics that need discussion, but the media chooses to ignore, yet it's causing us, we Americans, a lot of money and blood and war and foreign aid. And so we hope to enlighten our caller, our guests more tonight with this conversation that we hope to have. In the midst of other problems we're having with the economy and whatnot, we see that the war carries on, draws on, and it's costing us, I think, what is it, at least $2 billion a week. Meanwhile, our infrastructure is in a mess. We're facing massive debt, massive unemployment, which is much higher than they're telling us. I would estimate that it's at least around 20%. Of the real unemployment figures. And we're prosecuting this war at the same time, or these wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I contend that especially Iraq, this war was a proxy war for Israel, who also wants us to attack Iran. And I say there was absolutely no reason to attack either country. It's just made things a lot worse. It's caused more terrorism. And something needs to be done about it. And I think that I have observations and solutions that would help solve the whole problem. And not only would I cut off all foreign aid, but I would first cut off all foreign aid to Israel. Because they're working this country like they're the tail wagging the dog, and most Americans are clueless to all this, and they think that we must support Israel at all costs. Plus, they're constantly bombarded with this Christian Zionism from the pulpit of a lot of their Christian pastors. Some of the worst offenders, especially John Hagee from Texas, Pat Robertson, this whole crowd, Israel at any expense type crowd. Meanwhile, it's having negative repercussions on our nation and what it's costing us, not only in foreign aid, but in the wars that this has brought upon. And powerful people like to deny it, like the architects of the war, like Richard Pearl and Paul Wolfowitz, these neoconservatives, whom I think have or have had dual U.S.-Israeli passports. So this is a deep topic that is gradually being exposed, and thank goodness for the internet, because the internet has given us a lot more freedom and information. Yes, there's misinformation too, but it's our duty to sift through it and try to draw our own conclusions. Whenever I criticize any power structure or groups, it's an expose on power. I might harshly criticize Israel or Zionism or Jewish power, but it's never connected to advocating violence or genocide or anybody losing their constitutional rights. That does not follow the criticisms. Criticisms do not equal hatred, and criticism does not advocate violence or war. But nevertheless, it's important criticism, and I'm not afraid to do it, although a lot of people are afraid to tackle this topic. But there are some courageous people who see the need for it, including many brave anti-Zionist Jews. Zionism is sort of a radical political movement. It's atheistic in origin and very secular, and intimidating. In fact, the Zionist wing of Judaism, if it's even part of Judaism, I believe has intimidated and caused a lot of pain and suffering to just rank and file Jewish people. And a lot of these Zionists, like Netanyahu and this whole crowd, these are white Zionist Jews from mostly from Russia or Eastern Europe, and they've inhabited Palestine and kicked out all these people starting back in about 1947 and 1948. They kicked out about 800,000 Palestinians off their own land. Yes, historically, Jews lived there thousands of years ago too, but you know, up to World War I and even up till 47, Jews, Christians, and Muslims lived in pretty much peace. There were a few riots here and there, but nothing on the magnitude of today until after World War II. They descended on this country, kicked out its inhabitants, and set up their Jewish state, which ironically was formed, Israel was formed mostly by atheist Zionist Jews. Make that socialist, communist, atheist Zionist Jews. And here's the biggest irony of it all and hypocrisy of it all. I put in a nutshell, God gave us this land, shouted the atheist Zionist Jews. So right there, there's a big hypocrisy in the whole deal. And we have to remember that after World War II in Europe, there were millions of hungry, homeless people. And the fact that Zionists guided the Jews to Palestine to fulfill their aims of a Zionist state, and I believe their ultimate aims is world government or, you know, global control through their Zionist banking system and their control of the media, that they caused this problem, which didn't exist before 1948. But Israel was not created because of the Holocaust. Israel was set into being near the end of World War I with the Balfour Declaration, which Britain, through the Balfour Declaration, Britain agreed to, had a mandate through the, it wasn't the United Nations, the League of Nations at the time, to administer Palestine. Well, they had no more right to control or colonize Palestine or give it to the Zionists than, say, would the U.S. have the right to give Panama to Uganda. So this goes back to the end of World War I. And in 1916, you had the Sykes-Picot Treaty, which was an agreement that Britain and France would carve up the Middle East after World War I. France got Syria and Lebanon. Britain got Saudi and what later became Iraq. They put a Saudi prince on the Iraqi throne. So the Western powers played a big role in shaping the Middle East. And this was fomented by the Zionists. I should say the Rothschild-backed Zionists who then descended on Palestine and gave us the situation which we have today, which is this hate-o-rama. And I would say that Israel is the most dangerous place in the world for Jews to live. And my solution has for a long time been that we should find immediate common ground with especially Jews united against Zionism, the Israeli peace movement, and Israeli human rights groups. And the Israeli peace movement and Israeli human rights groups are groups that we don't hear much about, nor do they show much about. But they're more well-known and heard in Israel, especially the newspaper of its Haaretz, I think it's apostrophe A-R-T-Z. Haaretz, I'm not pronouncing it correctly, but I know what the paper is. And I've been in full agreement with many of their columnists who speak the anti-Zionist line. They don't like what the Israeli government is doing to the Palestinians. They don't like the war. They don't like the deceit. They don't like the apartheid situation. They don't like the torture. And this is something that people's attention – we need to bring people's attention to, because there is a faction in Israel that opposes the war, the torture, the oppression, the apartheid, and the world is slowly waking up to the fact that the Palestinians have been really screwed royally since about 1947. And they had nothing to do with World War II and the so-called Holocaust. I say so-called because I agree that in World War II in Europe, millions of people died. And yes, there were concentration camps, but I have other beliefs on how people died and exactly what went on. I do not deny that millions of people died, that there were camps, that there was forced labor, that there was forced marches, that there was torture, that there was murder, that there was genocide. I readily acknowledge all of those, but the details as to specifically how a lot of this happened, when and why, that is where I differ with the status quo, if you will. As I've researched this further, my view on the Holocaust is that most of the people in the camps who perished, perished from mostly from starvation, disease, forced labor, deportation, war, and the weather. These were the main reasons that masses of people died. In fact, I even wonder if Hitler's underlings did a lot of things that he was not directly aware of, such as I wouldn't be surprised if there was more murders in Eastern Europe when Nazis killed people in pits and then machine gunned them in pits and then covered the pits over, which incidentally was a technique that they learned from Stalin when the SS trained with the was it the NKVD, the Soviet secret police in the late 30s, early 40s, when they had their Hitler Stalin pact, which actually bought more time for Germany to rearm, because Germany was fearing an invasion of Europe by Russia, and German intelligence had found this out, which is why Hitler invaded Russia. So a lot of the killing techniques that the Nazis used came from Stalin's methodology, which he used in the early and mid-30s against his own people, and especially in the Ukraine, the Holocaust in the Ukraine, which is the Holodomor. I don't pronounce that. Sorry, I'm not pronouncing that correctly either. It's Holodomor, something to that effect, in the mid-30s when Stalin oversaw the murder of like 20 million Christians well before World War II. And Hitler knew this. Germany knew this. Much of Europe knew this. In fact, even though many Europeans did not like Hitler, they feared communism even worse. And they saw Germany, a strong Germany, as a bulwark against communism. So this is something that I want our guests to know. And I've just learned this in the last few years, because I didn't learn it in history in school. It came out as I have been studying and doing my own research. Thank goodness for objective intellectual revisionist history, because it's opened the door to a lot of things, and it's lined up a lot of the facts with history that have been conveniently left out by the historians or the court historians. And as we know, history is always written by the by the victors. So consequently, what we're taught in school is not everything or the full account of what happened. It's as if there's a puzzle with many important pieces missing, but we're led to believe that it's complete. Well, it's not complete, especially because time is the best friend of truth. And sometimes it takes plenty of time and investigation to come to different conclusions than what the governments or the status quo would have us to believe, especially when they partake in staging things or obscuring the truth or telling half lies. And that seems to be what we've been faced with a lot of history, including our own history here, like in the Civil War and the founders and this and that. So, but anyway, back to Zionism and Israel. It's a real shame what continues to happen there, and I just hate the fact seeing our tax dollars used to supply Israel with an endless supply of free American-made murder weapons. Meanwhile, the Richard Pearls, the Michael Chertoffs, Paul Wolfowitz, Douglas Feith, Dennis Ross, this whole crowd of neocons, I'm quite sure that they have and or they have had dual Israeli-U.S. passports, U.S. citizenship, and they've infiltrated our government and our media and our military. So Israel's Mossad, which is their CIA, if you will, I've mentioned this before, they're in cooperation with American CIA and the British MI6, which is Britain's version of the CIA. So these three entities, they collaborate together. They're the masters of deception. In fact, Israel's Mossad's mantra is, by deception we make war, or something very close to that effect, that terminology. So that says a lot right there. Now, in 1948, President Truman recognized Israel, but he did this against the advice of a lot of his advisors, including, I think, General Marshall. They thought it would have bad effects, and you can see the legacy of this. And I still contend that America had no enemies in the Middle East before 1948. And ever since then, as we've continued to supply Israel with credit and welfare, free murder weapons, especially since 1967, it's just made things much worse. Palestinians have suffered much more. There's been more terrorism throughout our world. I mean, my simple solution is, besides finding common ground with Jews against Zionism, the Israeli peace movement, and Israeli human rights groups, my immediate solution is to shut the money off. Shut off all the American tax dollars. Israel is not our 51st state, and nowhere in the United States Constitution does it say that the American taxpayer is supposed to endlessly support Israel. If Americans want to support Israel, they should be free to write a check. I myself favor an arms embargo. As much as I'm for free trade and free enterprise, the arms industry, it's connected to the federal government. There's our taxes are involved in it. I would rather see an arms embargo on Israel from the U.S., complete arms embargo and shutting off all the money. Israel is an apartheid terrorist state, in my humble yet all-knowing opinion. It needs to be taken to the woodshed and have its allowance permanently cut off. I longed for the day that Israel gets its boot off of America's neck. We don't need them as an ally in the Middle East. We don't need the problems they cause. We would be just fine negotiating peacefully with the Arabs who own the oil rights. And trade would still flourish. We wouldn't have all this militarism. Now, we have a special guest I've invited on the show who is going to talk with me about this. And his name is Reverend Ted Pike. So if you're out there, Reverend, welcome aboard.
Well, thank you so much, PK. Very interesting discourse.
Yes, I'm sound like talking off the top, speaking off the top of my head, but I have learned a lot, especially in the last 5 years, and I don't know if you got to see my bio, but I'm like Teflon when it comes to criticism about and free speech, especially about this topic. I cannot be intimidated, and politically correctness or this sort of thing just carries no weight on my show. So welcome aboard.
Thank you very much. Delighted.
Yes. I don't know if you got to hear what I was saying up front there, but these are sort of my views on what needs to be done. I'm one who likes to come to a solution. I try to offer a solution for socioeconomic problems and offer my concise, sometimes blunt solutions. But, you know, I think we can all agree on, first of all, shut the money off.
Well, not only that, but I think that one of the very best ways to deal with this problem, I think, as you kind of mentioned, you said that time is the best friend of the truth. And as we have more time and as we have the tremendous instrument of the Internet to proliferate that truth, that suppressed truth to the nations, literally, then we have the possibility of massive education and enlightenment to at least hold back the forward ascent of this Babylonian evil, which is ascending to, as you mentioned, world dominance, or at least aspiring to that. And my belief is that our battle is primarily an ideological one. It's a spiritual and ideological one, and as such, the instruments of war, the instruments of violence are really counterproductive, because the Jewish media machine will only use that as grist for even greater mythologies in the future. On the other hand, if we continue to educate and bring this kind of suppressed information, these realities of history, to light on a massive scale, I believe that by far right now is the most powerful tool to put a damper on Zionist aggressiveness and expansionism.
Well, as Ed McMahon would say, you are correct, sir. I agree with you on this, and one of our greatest libertarian heroes was Jewish, is Ludwig von Mises. You may know of his name. He said the same thing. It's ideas and philosophies. These are the most powerful things. These will change the mindset of people. But we've got a lot of work to do, because, as you know, Christian Zionism and Christian Zionists from their pulpits are spreading this message to their flocks every week.
Yes, absolutely. And they're doing it on a massive scale. Do you realize that John Hagee claims 99 million viewers on every broadcast he puts out on the massive Pentecostal Christian TV network, Trinity Broadcasting?
I'm not surprised at all.
Million. Yeah, 99 million. And wow. So there is a media empowerment behind evangelical Zionism and of course, the Zionist Jewish control of the mass media here in the United States and largely in Europe as well. But on the other hand, especially over the last decade or so, the Internet alternative talk radio, Internet media, and large websites, such as Rens.com and others, have very powerfully blasted a message of truth and light out literally to the nations. And I've heard reports that a good percentage of the listeners to some of these broadcasts are actually in the Soviet Union, as many as 30-40%. And
wow.
I'm especially gratified because our website, truthtellers.org, we're the primary watering hole, if you will, for hate crimes information internationally, describing the abuses and twisted ideology of the hate crimes movement, which has strangled freedom of speech in many countries of the Western world. But as a result of truth tellers educating not only America, but educating people in Australia and Germany and Eastern Europe and so on, I believe that we are making a dent in the rapid proliferation of hate laws throughout the entire world. And as an example of that, back about 6 years ago, the Anti-Defamation League, which is this huge Jewish muscle group, this so-called civil liberties organization that has proudly claimed that it has created hate laws not only in America but throughout the world, the ADL orchestrated a 55-member nation hate crimes Gestapo in Europe called the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. That was about 6 years ago, and they got 55 nations to sign on to that, promising to enact ADL hate laws and enforce them and give statistics back to ADL and feed a kind of a fire here of rapid proliferation of hate laws. But as a result, I believe, largely of disillusionment and wide reporting of abuses by ADL hate law persecuting free speech throughout the world, now only only about 20 of those 55 nations are even cooperating with ADL, and ADL is weeping crocodile tears, saying, "Well, what's happening to our huge hate crimes confederation here, which we were hoping could span the Atlantic and unite the federal hate crimes bill in the U.S. Congress with hate laws in Germany, England, France, Sweden, etc." And there are indications, very strong indications, especially since the rape of Gaza, siege of Gaza several years ago, especially since the abortive flotilla attack, terrorist attack by Israel on the Free Gaza flotilla, and even by the most recent, these radical racist statements which prominent Israeli rabbis are now making, advocating the killing, literal killing of Arab children, and refusing to sell or rent to Arabs, and in fact endorsing the idea of driving the Arabs out of Palestine. All of these things reverberate throughout the world, confirming a general consensus among many people in Israel and outside of Israel that something has gone tragically astray with the whole Zionist experiment. And I believe that even though Zionist power is very, very daunting, both militarily and propaganda power throughout the world, nevertheless, we are seeing really quite miraculous reversals. And one of the most hopeful signs, I think, which you mentioned, is the rise of Jewish critics of Israel, like Israel Shamir and Norm Finkelstein, and on and on and on. There is a whole host of anti-Zionist Jews who may be loyal to the idea of a Jewish homeland, but are vehemently critical of everything that Israel has done as far as abusing the Palestinians and actually creating Arab terrorism in the Middle East.
Right. Well, and plus, you know, historically, Mossad, they're great at impersonating Arabs, too.
Agents provocateur.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, there's something else about me I want you to know that gives me some more cred as far as credibility, I believe, as far as this whole Zionist thing goes, is that I myself, well, I was raised Catholic. I survived 8 years of Catholic school, and Catholics make the best atheists. I am here to tell you that I am a non-militant atheist, and by that I mean I do not care if Christians or Jews or whoever it is, they want to put up their religious symbols on public lands for the holidays. I don't care. That bothers me zero. I just want to be left alone. And again, I'm a non-militant. I wouldn't, pressure anybody for anything. I don't care. So this gives me some more credibility because a lot of this Zionism is atheistic. I know where they're coming from, but I have no agenda. I would not close the churches. And in fact, in Russia, as I understand it, during the 30s, if not the 20s, when the Zionist Jews were, you know, running wild in Russia and the architects of this, Stalin's purges, churches, as you know, and steeples were torn down and closed. But as I understand it, synagogues were seldom harmed.
Oh, absolutely. Vladimir Lenin put on a phonograph record, which was distributed throughout the whole Soviet Union in 1918 or 1919, declaring that anyone who declared the Jewish identity of the Commissars of Russia, which were predominantly Jewish, more than 90% Jewish, would be executed. There was a capital offense for pointing your finger and saying Lunacharsky or Sverdlov or Kalinev or Kaganovich or any of them were actually Jews. And so the great struggle we are having right now is to keep the internet free, keep this unprecedented loudspeaker of truth going out through the nations. And I believe we're kind of at a race for the finish line, if you will, as centuries of Kabbalistic, Talmudic, Jewish aspiration toward domination of the Gentiles, of the Goyim, and of the Christians is coming to a head, and they have made spectacular advances in that direction. But as time, you said, is the friend of truth, truth is at last kind of getting its boots on. And that's why I'm especially concerned, and I have been for the last year at least, that no movement in America begin to advocate or actually perform acts of physical violence which will provide fodder for the ADL. And I just sent out an email alert from truthtellers.org. Our website went out this afternoon. People might want to come to truthtellers.org and read that, in which I am jumping all over the ADL and the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is the Jewish adjunct. It's called ADL South, as they are now broadly hinting that the Tea Party movement, the Christian conservative right in America, has laid a foundation of so-called intolerance or incivility, which has made possible the incitement and inflammation of the twisted mind of this young man in Tucson, Arizona, to commit this atrocity in this shooting of Gifford. Yeah, you see. So what we have to do, what my strategy is, and I think if people will come to truthtellers.org, we have a tremendous archive there of probably at least 400 articles over the last five years that we have written on the subject of hate laws, the ADL, and all of these threats to free speech. What I always do is our research staff goes to Jewish websites. You mentioned Haaretz. We also go to ADL. We go to the Jewish Forward websites and JTA and all these Jewish websites and find out where the Zionist supremacists are going to hit next, what issues they are consider to be to their advantage, and then we turn the tables on them and we expose them. And of course, Jeff France has been very faithful to post all of our articles on Truth Tellers. So literally, as soon as the Zionists misbehave, we jump all over them, and often our articles will go at least from 50, sometimes to even over 100, repostings on blogs and websites throughout the world. So we really there has been the creation of a new media here in America. It's not as big as the Jewish media, but it packs a wallet.
Right. Well, I'm glad to see this pushback in Europe and here against the Zionist power structure. And I applaud your efforts and your what I call objective intellectual research. And again, when I read your interesting writings and those of people who are also in our camp, again, Reverend, I never see equated with your research followed by advocating harm towards anybody. If you think like I do, when you write, it's always an expose on power, regardless of who wields it or who yields it.
Yes, absolutely. And we have survived over the past 30 years. We've been doing this since the early 1980s. I published a book called Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma in 1984, and then a very widespread video, The Other Israel. And one of the secrets is not only moderation, according to a Christian perspective of ethics, but it's also going to the extreme sometimes in irrefutable documentation. And
right.
We know how quickly the ADL is there waiting in the wings to seize on any misplaced word or phrase or whatever to dramatize it and try to ruin us. In fact, in 1987, after my video, The Other Israel, was at least 10,000 copies had very quickly been sold nationally, the ADL, in a special conference in Seattle, said that they were going to destroy Ted Pike and the National Prayer Network in only a year and a half. And, of course, that was at least 25 years ago. So there, if you have built a foundation on moderation, accuracy, humanity, and fair play, ADL has a hard time taking you down.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And we've never met, but when I hear you speak, I hear a passionate man whose heart is not full of hatred, but his heart seeks justice. And you're doing it, again, through intellectual research, and I applaud you for going down that path. And it's good to see that the ADL, you know, we're pushing back against them, and they have like a $70 million budget, don't they? And the Southern Poverty, that group, what is it, Southern Poverty Law Center, don't they have like a $100 million budget, something like that?
Well, I don't think Southern Poverty is quite as big as the ADL, but yes, ADL has
huge
about,
budgets,
$70 million a year, and ironically, it is largely raised by increasing anti-Semitism in the world. You see, what ADL does is it goes around to the nations of Europe, Australia, and the U.S. states, and now a federal hate crimes law in America, and it takes away freedom, takes away freedom of speech. And after a while, as time passes and as the truth proliferates, as we've said, people begin to realize that ADL is out to destroy Western Christian society and civilization in order to build upon its ashes their new Judaic world order. Now, what that does is it stimulates among the Gentiles resentment, suspicion, animosity against, unfortunately, the Jewish people, but especially against the Zionists and the Zionist Jewish supremacists who are at the root of this problem. In other words, ADL stimulates by its attempts to take away freedom, attempts to establish homosexuality and pornography and all these things, ADL takes away freedom, creating animosity and resentment among the goyim. And
right.
As a result, and then what they do, here's stage two. Stage two, then, they go around and they have all these nations and hate crimes bureaucracies reporting on the hate crimes incidents that are a result of ADL's abuses. And then they tally up these statistics and these reports and synagogue burnings or swastika paintings and so on, and they tell their Jewish constituents, especially in America and Israel, oh, look at the high rise of anti-Semitism and Jew hatred in the world. You send your big fat check to ADL
right.
and keep that the millions coming, and we will be empowered to fight anti-Semitism. So that the Jews worldwide send in 66 or 70 million dollars a year, fueling ADL to create more abuses against freedom and Christianity in the next year.
Well, I'm fond of saying that and observing that Abe Foxman is the Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton of the ADL. Were there race baiters? Well, he's a baiter,
right.
anti-Semitism baiter. He needs anti-Semitism to flourish.
Oh, absolutely, he does. If there were no anti-Semitism, he'd be, where would he be? Out of selling insurance or something out on the sidewalk.
Better yet, suicidal.
Of,
but anyway, and this is how they play that game. And of course, you have all their, and they're highly paid. A lot of lawyers on their staff, highly paid. Several on the Southern Poverty Law Center and the ADL. I saw a film by a young Jewish fellow, I forget the name of it, but I'm a fan of, I don't know if you know Gilad Atzmon. He's an English.
I've seen some of, I haven't read his articles. I've seen him posted at Rents.
He's very good. He was a former Israeli living in Britain, and he's renounced, probably an atheist. He's renounced Judaism. And there was a little film, I think I saw it on his, a little film clip about this young Jewish guy who went to Israel, and he went to Auschwitz with them. And there's an interesting clip where Foxman is meeting with Ukrainian people and people in that area of the world, and he's telling them, he's demanding that they do not compare the Holocaust to the Ukrainian Holocaust, Holodomor. I'm not pronouncing it correctly.
Absolutely, I'm very familiar with that.
It's on film. It's on film, Ted. He's telling.
I've written about it. I've written an email about the audacity of Foxman.
I watched it. It was unbelievable.
He strides right into the Ukrainian government and tells them that they are not to remember 5 million kulaks who were starved to death by Stalin, because that might provide competition to the education about the really important 6 million Jews who were allegedly gassed and starved by Germany during World War II. In other words, their own national history is to be submerged under the really important issues of how much Jews have suffered.
Well, I read a very important book a few years ago. A friend of mine gave me. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's by a writer named Alfred Condor, and it's called Talmudism, Zionism, and Communism: The Unholy Trinity. Are you familiar with this?
I'm not familiar with the book.
Talmudism, Zionism, and Communism, and boy, did it open my to see what is really going on. And so I'm glad we have the internet, although my two fears about the internet, I think, are coming true in their efforts to regulate it. They're going to use two main excuses, Reverend, and that is child porn and terrorism. That is going to be their wedge. They're trying because they don't like the internet.
Absolutely. We have to watch the government very, very close. And, of course, as you're probably aware, there are powerful Jews, including Julian Genachowski, who is the head of the FCC, and others in high positions. There's another one. His name is on the tip of my tongue, but he's a high media czar appointed by Obama, who is Jewish, calling for radical so-called tolerance or respect for divergent points of view being required. Eventually on the internet, and we really have to watch them very closely. Unfortunately, just before Christmas, the FCC got together and they voted 3-2 in favor of moving forward to internet regulation, beginning with the big servers and so on. But ADL has been extremely frustrated in the staggering proliferation of anti-Zionist websites on the internet, which continues to grow, and we've got to preserve that voice for freedom and be on the watch as much as we possibly can, because despite words like fair use and all kinds of confusing doublespeak and misleading terminology, ADL, SPLC are determined, especially from the highest echelons of power, to bring the internet under their control.
Oh yeah, definitely. And it's good to see them. They got their back against the wall, and Israel does too. They're trying to practice damage control. And what was I going to say? The ADL. I forgot. I had this thought. I forgot what it was. But no, you're exactly right. They're trying to practice damage control. I know what it is. They're trying to. And I'm sure you know this. They're trying to say now that anti-Zionism is the same thing as anti-Semitism. That's their
little scam. Absolutely. And not only that, you mentioned how the evangelicals have given absolute support of Israel, both militarily and morally, and even now financially. The tunes of maybe $100 million a year are spent in donations to radical, extreme, ultra-Orthodox Jews, including in Israel. Actually, there's very little gratitude on the part of these hardline Orthodox Jews for all this money that is coming in. Just as an anecdote, back when they were having the forest fires in Israel a month or so ago, an evangelical group approached the government of Israel with an offer of firefighting equipment and people and everything to come in there to help the Israelis put out the fire. And Yishai, the the interior minister of the Shah's party, high in the Israeli government, refused this evangelical gift, claiming evidently that God could take care of the Jewish nation even in forest fires, and they would not be contaminated and soiled by gifts from the idolatrous Goyim anymore. So there's a real arrogance there, and the truth of the matter is that the evangelicals may passionately love the Israelis, but that is not returned. The Israelis really do not love the evangelicals. They are from a very, very different background, a communist, Marxist-oriented,
right,
Talmudic mentality, and they could very quickly become our America's greatest enemies, even nuclear enemies, at the turn of a dime. They have no abiding gratitude for what America has done. Will gladly bite the hand that has fed them for so long.
It's very scary. Well, as we wind down here, I want to thank you again for coming on Third Stream View, and I'd like to have you back again soon, because we've just scratched the surface a bit, but I'm glad to see that this pushback is going on, and I applaud your efforts. In fact, I don't know, even in our own country, did you know that Abraham Lincoln was Jewish?
No, I didn't know that. I'd have to see that
strong listen,
document.
He was shot in the temple.
You mean
that's
Ford
a joke.
Theater was the temple?
He was shot in the temple. That's a joke, Ted.
Well, this is your sick humor you're talking about.
That's part of it, sir. That's part of it. But thank you. Again, I want to thank you for coming on, and I'd like to continue this because we've made some good progress, and you've certainly done your homework, and I'm learning from you. And I'm also learning that some of the things I've learned, I'm on the right track, on the right path. So thanks again. And as I close out now, I'd like to thank Reverend Ted Pike for joining us here with your host PK on Third Stream View every Monday night at 9 p.m. Pacific, 12 midnight Eastern, and 11 Central. Thanks again to BBSRadio.com. See you next week. Over and out.